Classic Compassion Podcast. My name is Jamie. I'm your host, and I'm here with the lovely Allison, my co-host. Hi, Allie.
Yay. What's up?
Just chilling. I'm a little sick. What about you? You healthy?
No. Honestly, no. I don't think so. Like, it's so funny because I feel like I put so much emphasis on my aura score. But, yeah. like on vacation, I'm like, oh, like, my aura score was this morning. But since vacation, it, like, hasn't gone up as much as I want it to. It's, like, still pretty low. So I'm like, I'm doing everything I can. Why am I not recovering?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
We just got back from Mexico, like, 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
A week ago?
Basically, like, a week ago, I think.
Wow. Oh, it's still so recent, but my tan is already fading.
I know.
Yeah, we had a blast, but we all came back with, like, I think this is...
ailments.
We're not getting old, but we're not in the peak of
our... The earth is getting more dangerous.
Yeah, and we're not in the peak of our youth anymore. Or it could be that the earth is getting more dangerous. That actually makes me feel better about it. We all came back with, like, some sort of issue related to the sun. The UV was, like, max, I think, 7, the highest I ever saw that it was.
Yeah.
But that sun in Mexico, it's just brutal.
Our friend got phytophotodermatitis, which is a skin condition that happens when you have citrus plus sun exposure. I had seen a TikTok on that, like, months ago before we went, and I saved it because I was scared.
Yeah.
And then I completely forgot about it before we went to Mexico, but, like, some girl posted that. She had a bunch of drinks with lime in it, and then she got this weird mark on her mouth.
Yeah.
And she went to the dermatologist, and it was that. And so our friend, like, got that from the sun as well.
Which is crazy for two reasons. One, like, life is about balance, I guess, right? Because people are always like, make sure you eat enough fruits and vegetables, and, like, citrus in particular, otherwise you're going to get scurvy.
Yeah.
But, like, people always say that. But then you can get... lime juice on your leg, and then you can get, like, what is it, photodermatitis? You can't win. They're like,
I don't even, like, that's what I don't understand is if it's, it has to have gotten on your skin, or if you can just have ingested it recently. It might be a little of both. I don't know.
Yeah. Cause
either way, I agree with you.
Because I think, well, the acidity from the limes, I imagine, is similar to why, like, you put lemon juice in your hair to lighten it. Like, I think when it hits the acidity in it or whatever component gets hit by the sun, like, it does something to, like, your hair and skin. But it's just that funny to me in hindsight because I remember Kiara got, like, guacamole or tacos or something, and she said, please, extra limes. Like, extra, extra
limes. Yeah.
She got, they gave her a whole plate of limes. And it's just kind of so funny. Like, if it was a TV show, you would pan from, like, that moment where she asked for extra limes
to, like,
to where she's at the dermatologist.
And they're like, and the dermatologist is like, have you had any citrus recently in the sun? And she's like, oh no.
That is just so funny. It's not, it's terrible. But the world is kind of, like, ironic sometimes.
Luckily, there is treatment.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know. I'm Google girling right now and just scanned one thing and it says there's no cure. It has to run its course. But, like, that, I feel like that makes it sound worse than it is. It probably just means, like, there's no, like, quick fix, but you have to use, like, creams and, like, wait it out.
Yeah. Still, though, what a bummer.
That is a bummer.
And then what happened to you?
Again? I was actually okay. Today, like, an hour ago, was the first time I was reaching onto my back and felt a bump. And then I, like, looked in the mirror and it's a mole that I feel like hasn't been raised in the past, but I could just be imagining that. So now I'm like, great, now I have to schedule a dermatologist appointment. And also, if we're talking other ailments, I got my eyes checked earlier this year, or end of last year, and she scheduled a follow-up because there was a mark on the back of my eye, and she was like, has anyone ever told you about that? And I was like, no. She's like, okay, I'm gonna have you come back just to monitor it, because if it was something that's, like, growing or changing, like, then it could affect my vision. So I was pretty terrified. But I went today and the picture showed that it like wasn't growing or changing since the last time. So you can just like monitor it year to year. But she was shocked that no other eye doctor has ever pointed it out to me. Mm-hmm. And so I was like a little nervous, but she was also like, yeah, another thing to do is to limit or like wear, you know, use sun protection, like protect your eyes from the sun. So I was glad that we came back from vacation already.
Yeah.
But just like another random thing.
Yeah.
The same way that the sun can give you freckles on your skin, like giving it can change stuff in your eye.
That's so crazy. It's funny because we need the sun. Like, yeah. We need vitamin D to be happy.
Right.
Thrive. We need vitamin, like, the sun gives us everything we need and we feel so good in it. But then, like, too much. Again, like, it's all about balance. There's no objectively good thing in this world. That's what I'm, like, coming to the conclusion of. Because literally, like, you can have too much of everything that's supposed to be good for you.
That's a funny thing to point out now to vitamin D specifically, because we're living in a region of the world where there's not enough sun to like help us make vitamin D on our own. So like we're supposed to be supplementing, and then we go on vacation to try to get like our yearly like winter dose of vitamin D, and there's all these risks. And also like vitamin D deficiency is something I was reading recently in the book, and as I was reading the symptoms of that, I was like, oh, I have this, like,
yeah,
I need to start buying that supplement again. So it's just, there's so much,
it's so bad. And then this is all so funny, we're hilarious. So then I got sunburn on my back primarily. I don't know how, because I'm always the first to burn. It got to the point like late in the day, our last day there, and Allie and our friend Kiara were like, I'm gonna go sit in the shade, I think I'm like getting a little red. And I was like, okay, I think I'm good. So
we're chilling.
I'm gonna stay in the sun because I didn't seem red.
Like looking at your front, but missing your back.
But I was laying on my back all day. Like my whole front was exposed all day. So I was like,
yeah.
So I gotta even the tan out. And then I should have had you guys put sunscreen on my back again when I like flipped over. And you guys went away. But then I'm on my stomach, I don't know, for maybe like 45 minutes. Allie's like, you were so nice about it. And I don't know why, but the top half of my back was so burnt and the bottom half was normal. Like, that's kind
of. I was like, can I take a picture to show you?
Yes.
And I took a picture and showed you, and you were like, are you serious?
You were so nice about it. I was like, no, I'm good, like I'm fine. And you were like,
I was like, you might want to put like a
you're like, but can
like
I
a thing over your shoulders.
You were like, okay, that's fine, but I just want to take a picture so you know.
Yeah, like I mean, some people like to get a little crispy, and who am I to say what you should or shouldn't do? So I was like, I just want you to be aware.
It's so funny. I appreciate you doing that, because then I was like, oh.
Or like, day over.
Are you serious? Yeah, I put a little shawl on. But so normally I peel when I burn. And this time, like 2 days after we get back, I'm like scratching the back of my neck, and then I feel all these bumps on my back. And that's never happened to me in my life. It's fine. They don't hurt or anything. They're like going away now. But I mean, I guess it's better than peeling.
Yeah.
I don't know. I should do some look into that. Maybe your next episode should be on sunburns.
We should. Just sun exposure.
In February.
How to stay safe.
In February.
Yeah. Prepping for the summer.
Yeah. No, but it was weird. I don't know. The sun there hit different, apparently.
Also, so many people I know are in Mexico right now, or were there when we were there. It was really weird. Specifically in Tulum. It was not on my radar that much. And then suddenly, this year, like, everybody's going.
It's up and coming. I was really, really...
Yeah.
I guess I just didn't know. I didn't do any research before the trip. I was like, I'm just going.
Mm-hmm.
Which normally I'm the opposite. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I think I just feel so comfortable with you guys. And I was like, I don't care what we
do. We'll figure it out.
We'll be fine. But yeah, it's so in development. And I knew it was going to be jungly, but I didn't think like that jungly. Like, Everywhere was a jungle. There wasn't like one place. I guess like the main road, but there was huge trees everywhere. It was cool. I love that environment. That's like jungle is my favorite ecosystem, like jungle and rainforest.
Yeah.
So I loved cute. It. What about you? What's your favorite ecosystem?
I was about to ask you what was your like favorite part of the trip, and you're like, what's your favorite ecosystem? Honestly, you probably know more. I would probably like say rainforest, but yeah. That's just because I know like a decent amount about biodiversity in the rainforest. But yeah, it's been a while since I've studied ecosystems. So.
No, but it doesn't have to be like scientific. It's just like, what do you think is like the coolest? Like,
yeah, probably rainforest.
Yeah, cool. We have that common. It's so luscious.
My favorite part of the trip,
I think I love the beach club. Like, that was just so nice. And I love that we had like the same day twice.
Yeah, like, that was exactly what
we went on Friday and then we went on Sunday, and it was just so nice. Oh, and yoga was pretty cool.
Oh my gosh, yeah,
we did yoga in like this big, I wouldn't call it a hut. I don't know,
like an amphitheater.
Yeah, kind of.
But it was like a big stage.
But it was flat and it faced the water and it was just so beautiful. We did Kundalini yoga. I'd never done it before. I appreciated it.
Mm-hmm.
But we were a little hungover, and being hungover is not when I like to try new things, I would say.
I was just going to look up, like, I'm glad you remembered the name, because I was going to look at my pictures to try to find it. But how did you like the type of yoga?
It reminded me a lot of bar, not in terms of, like, the type of movements, but the way that you do them till you're, like, exhausted.
Interesting.
That's what bar, have you taken a bar class?
I haven't, because everyone has made me scared to do so.
They're really intense. I mean, they're a great workout, but it just feels like conditioning. Like, you literally go until it hurts, and you have to, like, put your arms down or, like, take a break.
Yeah.
And, like, the bar is very different than what we're doing. We're doing, like, arm circles or, like, swinging side to side, which was nice, but it was new. It was different. When I got my yoga certification, I had to learn about all the different types of yoga, so I was like, oh, Kundalini. And it briefly gave you like a 2-3 sentence like synopsis of what it was, but it was cool to experience it.
Yeah. I never really see it, so
no,
maybe it's not as popular, but it was interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, beach days were my favorite part of the trip. What were yours?
Yeah, that was my favorite part too. I feel like that, so we went to a beach club, and we got one of the like beds that you can lay on, and so mm-hmm. we all laid on the bed and we just like had our books or our phones, and we're just like chilling and getting food and drinks. So super comfy. And every time in the winter when I'm like, basically like what I was imagining when I texted, when we're first texting about this, is mm-hmm. just where can we get away and just lay in the sun?
Yeah.
Like, that's all I want to do.
Yeah.
So I feel like that is that moment of finally being transported to, like, where I wanted to be. And it was just so nice to just, like, take it slow and hang out with you both.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I love that. Next time we have to go for a whole week.
Yeah. I would want, like, I could... The problem is, like, the burning, I guess. So, like, even being there for a week, I would want to do like 2 more days of that, but I guess we'd have to space it out like mm-hmm. every other day or something, so our bodies have a break from the sun.
Yeah.
Do other activities and then go back.
Yeah. Or if we're there longer, we could just go for a couple hours. Something else I think would be cool is staying in one of those huts.
I know, right?
Like, or hotels or whatever that are literally on the beach, because I think it took so long to get to the beach. Not so long.
Yeah.
But we would get lost every time we were going home. It kind of felt like, it wasn't like we could just go to the beach for a couple hours, go do something else, and then go back to the beach later when it's not as warm.
Yeah, like, we want to be there, so we might as well be as close as possible and be able to, like, have coffee on the beach or, like, watch the sunset on the beach. That sounds incredible. I love that.
We got a text.
What's our text? Oh, my God. What the?
Oh, my God.
What do we do?
What do we do?
Oh my God.
Wait, is that what the person wants her to say? We need safe words with all of our friends. Oh my god. That was so... I just thought she was gonna, like, text us something fun. That's why I was like, we got a text, but... Oh my god. What were we saying? We just got... We just got really scary. We got a really scary text from our friend. And then everything was okay.
Let me read it, just so we have that on record, and then we can move to our topic. We got a screenshot that says, I think someone broke into my house, I'm hiding, please help, and then the apartment number. And so we were trying to decide who exactly to call.
Yeah.
And luckily, then we got a text that said, crisis averted, but then we weren't hearing back when we were like, wait, call us, FaceTime us, call us.
Yeah.
So... But she just FaceTimed us, and she's okay.
Thank God. That was so scary. It was so scary. I was so excited. I was like, oh, we got a text from our girl. Like, I saw one
image. I know, me too.
I saw the one image. I was like, oh, she probably sent a picture of the three of us.
And it's like, please help.
Oh, my God. Okay, anyway. So, all in all, Mexico is an 11 out of 10. Highly recommend. Tulum is amazing. Any other thoughts on that, Allie?
No, they had really awesome, like, plant-based options. I think that's relevant to the pod. And, like, yeah, that was, like, nice to see.
Yeah.
But other than that, we stayed in a beautiful Airbnb with a bunch of hammocks and a ton of good reviews. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can link to that for our girl, Monica.
Oh my God,
for our listeners, if anyone wants to stay there.
We have a great stay. Yeah, Monica's amazing. Our host. Yeah, there were a lot of vegan options. I was really, really, really impressed. Because you never know when you're traveling out of the country what you're going to get.
Yeah, and gluten-free.
Yeah.
Like, pretty well-marked most places.
Yeah.
Or if it wasn't well-marked, all of the wait staff were... Like, they knew what you were saying.
Yeah.
Because I feel like some places they're like... Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
Yeah. No, I know. We went to one place that had, this place called Taboo, that had two different vegan pasta dishes.
Oh, that was so good. And we didn't even, like, eat our leftovers because it was, like, the last day.
Next time, right? I really want to go literally just back there. Like, I don't even...
No.
That was perfect. It was affordable enough. And compared to, like, all the other places we were thinking about going. And yeah. I feel like we didn't even do everything we wanted to do. It was a magical place.
Yeah.
Like, we got our chakras cleared at the club. Whenever I'm trying to explain to someone, like, the vibe that Tulum had, I'm like, yeah, we're at the beach club at night. Like, they were playing EDM and shit.
Yeah.
And then right next to the bar, there's a little lounge, and this guy was just running around staging the fucking place.
Yeah.
And then our friend was like, hey, what are you doing? And he was like, oh, come here. And he took out some feathers. And, like, the woman, like, cleared her chakras at the club. Like,
it's really cool.
In between cocktails. Like, love that. That is so.
I loved it, too.
So dope.
That place was really cool. And we just kind of stumbled upon it, which is always nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it. And we got them for free.
I wonder if they have different nights of music or if it's always EDM.
I don't know. Unfortunately, I think, like, the global trend is EDM. The global trend. No, but, like, places don't really play hip-hop like that. I feel like we passed a couple places that were specifically dedicated to that. Remember we were looking it up and they didn't even... I mean, even pop music is fine. Like, normal, like, Hot 100 is fine. But places don't even really play that. It's all, like, the EDM stuff.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So, that was great. And you said you had some thoughts. You want to kick us off with those?
Yeah. So, a couple things. So, you know how, like, I don't know if I should explain how the thought came to me or just go right out with it. I feel like there's more context if I explain how it got to me. So,
okay.
I wish I had, like, bought a bottle of, like, the red wine. Then I was like, but I hate stopping because you have to park, you have to walk in, it's cold, whatever. And then I was like... You know, like, in America, they say, like, there's so many parking lots, it's just taking up land that could be used for other things.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, parking lots are kind of an issue because everything is so spread out and then things aren't walkable and then it leads to other issues.
Oh, this is the text you sent me.
What? Oh, yeah.
You sent me a text with no context. This is it. Okay, okay.
So then I texted Allie, and I said, what did I fucking say? I said another thing. Dot, dot, dot. The more drive-thrus you have, dot, 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 the less parking spots you need. No, but it's true. Like, if you could just drive through.
Yeah.
And it's like a 10-item max, and you just wait and get whatever you want, we wouldn't need so many parking lots.
You're right, and probably more jobs because you would need people inside to get all the stuff.
And then people don't have to get out of their car. This is good for if you have a baby, if you have a dog. It's great in the winter when it's cold and you don't want to leave your car. It's also great when there's no parking. You can just take the drive-through. So I used to be like, oh, drive-throughs are so, like, capitalist and American. But now I'm like, no, if they can, like, save land.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's an interesting thought.
And we can get rid of the parking lots and put, like, some trees there. All for a drive-through.
Should Google or put this into YouTube and see if anyone has, like, already made a video about this.
What would I put in the search box?
exactly what you texted me.
Okay, I will. So that's just my thought. I don't know. Any feedback?
Drive-thrus can save land. Something like that.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Later. Let us know.
And then my other thought is, I was having a Cheez-It the other day. A couple. And then I was like, they should make vegan Cheez-Its.
They should.
And then I was like, but they can't call it Cheez-It if it's not cheese. So you know what I decided they should call it?
What?
Cheese ain't.
I love it.
So I am going to email Cheez-It tomorrow.
You should.
And be like.
Yeah, I miss those a lot.
And be like, here's my idea. Pay me.
That's the thing, right? Like, yeah. They could just take your idea. They wouldn't even have to pay you.
Right? Should I copyright Cheese Ain't?
Yeah, I think so. Definitely before you email them.
It reminds me of this episode of The Office where they're interviewing someone. And they're like, he's like, I have this great 3-step plan to improve the company. And they're like, okay, what's the plan? And he's like, well, I can't tell you unless you hire me. And they're like, can you tell us a little bit about the plan? And he's like, no. Because then you'll just take the plan.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel.
That's a great strategy.
Yeah.
Did it work?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think he got the job.
Damn.
But it's The Office. It's not like...
Yeah.
Real.
Not representative of real life.
No. So yeah, cheese ain't.
Cause that.
Because it ain't cheese.
It's a great idea.
Yes, those are my thoughts. Any thoughts you have been like on your mind? Yeah.
No, I have no thoughts.
It's okay.
My brain is empty.
I have to write them down. Otherwise, I just forget.
I want to start doing that, too.
I actually...
Julia has, like, a really funny... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I don't even make notes on my phone anymore because I always, like, lose them. Or, like, don't look at them. But I'll text myself. And that's how I really remember things.
Interesting.
Yeah. Anyway. What you're saying?
Julia at her old company with her friend, they had a Slack channel that was $1 million ideas. And they were a bunch of like designers, so very creative people. And they would just post like funny, crazy $1 million ideas. Like your cheese ain't one would be like $1 million idea. And so one of the guys who was in that channel with her, she referred to the current job we have, and so they started the channel at our current company too. But she, before that, like she had read her note to me of all her $1 million ideas, and like I was literally crying laughing. They're so funny.
Really?
They're just so out there, and like it's like some of them are serious and other ones are just like hilariously not serious.
Yeah.
It's just such a fun like mental mind game to play.
Do you have any? Now I'm curious. Do you have any off the top of your head?
I'm going to text her and ask her for one, and then we'll see if we can...
It's okay. I mean, they're
mention
her...
one at the end of the pod.
They're her $1 million ideas, so, like, I get if she doesn't want to share them, you know?
Okay, let's get into it. We probably have, like, 30 minutes left after our catch-up.
We're just so fun.
We just have a lot to catch up on, too. So, in the first part one of this, we talked about what is cycle syncing and seed cycling and the different phases of your cycle. And in the first one, we talked about the follicular phase and the ovulatory phase. In our second part, we talked about the some theories about how the menstrual cycle is synced with the moon cycle. We talked about if syncing with your friends or other women close to you is a real thing. And then we talked about some femtech and some other kind of facts from the book In the Flow by Alisa Vitti, who is the woman who kind of kicked off all of these ideas and compiled it into that book and continues to kind of educate on this. So anyway, that's where we've been. And now where we're going today is the luteal phase and the menstrual phase to round out everything we have learned about cycle syncing. So,
woo!
Yeah. To start, so the follicular phase was the spring phase, the ovulatory phase was the summer phase, the luteal phase is the autumn phase. So this is what happens right after ovulation, kind of like halfway or 14 days typically into your cycle. And this is when there is rising progesterone and lowering testosterone and estrogen. This results in lower energy as your body is preparing for the menstrual phase. And then at the tail end of this phase is the biggest drop in hormones, which can result in intense PMS symptoms like anxiety, lower energy, and depression. So when you think of PMS, that's typically, you know, characteristic of the luteal phase. So some things, some recommendations for this phase are to eat slow burning complex carbs and food rich in B vitamins, because this is when you can see a peak in cravings, and B vitamins help with the production of progesterone, which helps stabilize blood sugar, which can help with those cravings. And then complex fiber foods also help blood sugar regulation and support the liver. So some examples of complex carbs are sweet potatoes, brown rice, and other high fiber veggies. And food rich in B vitamins includes egg, fish, collard greens, spinach, mustard greens, and watercress. Which, isn't watercress one of your faves?
I love watercress.
Watercress, I still have never bought that.
We had it in Mexico at one point, didn't we? And we all thought it was called something different.
Yeah. I can't remember what else we thought that was.
Kiara had a name for it. Someone called it microgreens.
Mm-hmm.
And then green stuff.
Yeah. And then exercise for this phase. Again, because you're likely starting to feel symptoms of PMS, this is where you might not feel as much energy for like the types of workouts you were doing right before this phase, which is the ovulatory phase, which is when you can do like those really hard HIIT workouts and you have a lot of energy from increased estrogen. So in the luteal phase, this is better to do less cardio-based, more strength-based, because you can like take it at your own pace. Strength-based, not meaning like lift heavy weights, just meaning like don't go for like really intense and extended types of workouts. So this might be like things that you should do in this phase include Pilates, weight training, and yoga. And yeah, again, bodies are prepping for another period. Your hormones are low, so you can feel low energy, and these exercises still challenge your body, but you can go at your own pace. Again, to recommend, I have the app 28, and I'm actually in my luteal phase right now, so I just did a workout on the app, and it was called Balance and Posture Corrective, and it says moderate intensity, and that these movements are done on a mat to encourage a neutral spine and emphasizing stability. So yeah, like a good time to do like mat-based exercises and kind of like strengthening your core and things like that. Yeah.
Wow.
And then the last like category is productivity. So things to do in this phase. You'll have increased attention to detail due to the ratio of estrogen to progesterone. And it says this is a good time to do things that are like kind of wrapping up things. So like quarterly reviews, finalizing contracts, wrapping up projects or editing them, organizing spaces. In other words, like prepping for the winter. And also like another way to say this is try to wrap up anything you're not going to want to do next week. AKA like when you're feeling your worst, potentially if your period's really bad, like try to wrap up the things that you're not going to want to do next week, this week.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a really interesting way to look at it. I guess it's just revolutionary for me to think about like planning tasks around my cycle. It's still something I'm wrapping my head around. But the idea of do it now before you feel terrible is such a good idea. It's like when people...
Right?
It's like when people are going out and they leave like a water bottle and pajamas on their bed. It's just like taking care of future you. I love that.
100%. Yeah. That's a really good way to put it and like an easier way to grasp it. Because I totally agree. Like I think a lot of this is so new and we're so not like conditioned to think like that. So it's almost like, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I do those tasks like month round, but I feel like if you were to keep a journal or like keep track, you might start to notice these trends. Like, I don't know, who's to say like all of this applies to everybody, but it'd be interesting to try to wrap up a project right now versus try to wrap up a project next week and like see the difference in your ability to like focus on getting that done. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Cool. Cool. So that's the luteal phase. Mm-hmm. And I guess like what was first confusing to me about these is the way they're broken up, because it makes it sound like there's like, okay, if there's four phases and it's 28 days, is each phase like 7 days? Mm-hmm. But that's not the case. It's like, I think this is correct. The follicular phase is like the first 14 days. The luteal phase is the second half, like 14 to 28. And then ovulatory and menstrual are the like smaller chunks of each of those phases. So ovulation happens at the end of the follicular phase and the menstrual cycle happens at the end of the luteal phase. So yeah, like the ovulatory phase and menstrual phase are like smaller parts.
Components. And then the menstrual phase is that when you're like having your period?
Yeah, so that starts on the first day of your period. And the length varies like person to person.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
So the menstrual phase is when your uterine lining begins to shed. Biggest drop in estrogen and testosterone. So again, like that, those drops are what cause a lot of the like bad side effects of that phase, like the discomfort and anxiety and like loss of energy, stuff like that. I have in caps here, rest and reflection. So this is like, this is when you should hibernate, give yourself a break, like do whatever you can to just like nurture your body and give yourself your much deserved break of the month.
Aww, that's nice.
Yeah. How do you feel about that in terms of like what you typically do?
I just went through my menstrual phase and I did not rest and reflect. Even though I like to rest and reflect when it's a new month and it's like February 2nd when we're recording. So yeah, I mean, I feel good now, but I think it's because it's like I'm over that phase, but I think it would have been nice to just rest more. And it makes sense why I don't want to do anything.
Yeah. Just like leaning into that and honoring that, I think is important.
Yeah. It's hard to listen to your body when everybody else is making like plans.
100%.
Like, yeah. People are like, oh, do you want to go grab a drink here? Or, like, do you want to go to this game? And I'm like, yeah, that sounds so fun. But yeah. It's, like, taking the moment to be like, okay, but even if I want to go and I don't have any obligations,
yeah,
I should still, like, listen to how I feel.
It definitely is hard.
Yeah.
I've been experiencing that, too, where, like, friends will be trying to make plans and I can look ahead and be like, oh, that's going to be the first day of my period. And just how it's been going this yeah. year, this past year, I know that sometimes I like am not going to be able to do anything that day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been like hard to voice that, but just to like let people know like, yeah, we can tentatively plan for that, but like there's a good chance that I'm not going to be able to do anything that day.
Yeah.
And like, sometimes it comes around, you push through. Sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I'm so glad I canceled those plans and I'm yeah. in bed reading right now.
Yeah. Well, it's hard because I feel like there is such a stigma around talking about like cramps and PMS as like an excuse to, not an excuse, like it's so valid, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As a reason to like if I go down to work because I was like, I have got my period today, like I can't, I feel like that's taken less seriously than like
100%.
Different type of illness to the point where it's like, I feel like if I say that, it reduces my credibility to a certain point because then this is something that's going to happen every month. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's going to be something that's like a repetitive thing. And if I call it every month, then it's not going to work out. Yeah. And it's going to be hard for me to keep a job. Whereas like, it should be something that's an option. And that's like professionalism. But with work too, I feel like people are like, oh, even in general, like, people are like, oh, it's not that bad. Like, it yeah. is. And it's so valid, but it's hard
especially
to do that
a job,
way.
Like, when you're going to be on your feet all day.
Yeah.
That's just, it, yeah. And, like, it's very clear that because of the society we live in, like, a lot of the things that cycle syncing suggests aren't going to be readily accessible.
Yeah.
To everybody. And that's what makes it like really hard, especially, you know, because you can't one, educate the people that you're asking for a break, and then two, like get them to be on board with mm-hmm. what's going on. It's just like a slow, hopefully like a slow cultural shift as people start talking more about this, as people start setting those boundaries more, then maybe it'll be more well recognized. Like I did yeah. see on LinkedIn that somewhere was offering either it was like leave, monthly leave, or like monthly time off for women's health.
Love that.
So like, you know, it's just about
yeah
pushing that needle.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Ooh, when I start my company, I want to do that.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool? Or like whatever happens. But you know what I mean? If I'm ever in that position, that's really cool. You can yeah. you can like make your own reality sometimes.
100%. And you brought up one of the episodes like about like how realistic is it? Like what if you and I and two other people are at a company and like we're all on different phases? And she actually addresses that in the book where like that's actually amazing. Like you wrap up the projects.
Yeah.
You like, you know, take on the challenging like sprint tasks and you like start organizing and planning, you know, like just
yeah
syncing the tasks and delegating to the appropriate people who are able to do that task in the current like phase of their cycle. And of course
yeah.
again, like hypothetically, like, you know, all those people would have to share where they're at in their cycle, but
yeah.
it'd be amazing to get to a point or like have an all women company that's really
ooh.
Open and
yeah
just like supportive. That's just amazing to think about.
That's cool.
And the productivity skyrocketed.
The roof. I was talking to someone the other day about how women have surpassed men in not every field, but every like aspect of life. And I was like,
oh, so?
I was like, of course we have. Like, that was literally my response.
Yeah.
Because I think in terms of the workforce, I think in terms of college education, I feel like that's been like a known statistic for a while that more women are getting college educated. Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, since forever, we've been, like, killing the game in the domestic realm and, like, the raising a family realm. So, like, literally, men, what do you have to offer?
Yeah, I mean, there's some kick-ass women leading the company that I'm at right now, and, like, they kind of fell. They were already in leadership positions, but because of, like, a reorganization, they ended up with even more responsibility and even higher leadership positions, and they both have, like, two-year-olds.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fucking super mom. Like,
super.
That's just incredible.
It's just so cool, and I admire it so much.
Yeah, same.
Wow. I love this.
Okay. Me too. I'll wrap up.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I was just going to say, thanks for bringing light to this topic, because it's something I wouldn't even... I was like, what should we do an episode on? You were like, I've been doing a lot of research on seed cycling. Like, let's do it. And I was like, okay. I don't know. I had no idea what it was. And now I feel much more aware and, like, excited. Because this is something that, like, we experience every month. And, like, half the population experiences every month. Like, why isn't this being discussed and talked about? Or even just, I don't know.
Yeah.
Made aware
of. Thank you for listening and being open to it.
Yeah.
It's been my little passion project for the past, like, 2 months.
It's amazing. Like, it really is.
Oh, my God, I must learn more. And obviously, it's, like, very personal, too. Like, the girl who I stumbled upon who introduced me to this topic, like, she was going through a lot of hormonal issues, and that kind of jump-started her interest. And I've just been personally experiencing some things that have made me look for answers, and this was just one of those things that might be an answer. And so, yeah, I'm really passionate about just women's health and trying to educate, especially women many years younger than us that have an opportunity to, like, apply all of the things we talk about at an earlier age. Like, so much of this I wish I knew in college. I feel like life would have been so different. Just in terms of, like, giving myself more grace and, like, understanding the other women that I was living with. Like, just everything about it. But
yeah,
it's great to learn it all now.
Even high school. I feel like when you're first, like, getting acquainted with having a period.
For sure.
Be so insightful.
100%. And, like, I would love to, like, talk to a group of 18-year-olds right now and ask, what is high school like? Like, what do people talk about? Because there's so much more media that they're consuming. And so maybe these types of topics, or, like, the topic of having a period, are, like, way less taboo than they were when we were in school. Like, I have no idea what that looks like, but I would be so curious to hear.
You know what? I work with, like, a couple of 16 or 17-year-olds. I'll ask them. But, like, hey.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
But how do you... They're like, hey, so, like, what do you guys talk about? Like, that's...
You sound, like, creepy.
I sound like such a fucking boomer.
Literally.
You know? But I would be curious, because I remember... Well, we don't have to remember, but social media came about when we were in high school. Like, Instagram, Snapchat, all those things.
Yeah.
Emerged. So, like, now there's TikTok, and those platforms that already exist have, like, are commercialized in a lot of ways now. So it'd be really interesting to see how that works. I don't know. Snapchat's still it, though. That's the one thing I have gathered from working with, like, younger kids, is they're always on Snapchat.
I wonder why.
Always. They don't text. They're on Snapchat.
I really wonder why. Like, we used it, but it wasn't my favorite.
I don't know. I think it's just so easy to use. Like, it's just immediately there, and then it disappears.
Yeah, like, less effort, but still connection.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And less polished than, like, Instagram. Because Instagram now, people feel like they have to have, like, perfect photoshopped everything.
Yeah, like, someone Snapchats you, you can't look at their profile. You can look at their story, but that's it.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's less about the image you curate. I mean, you can on your stories, but...
Yeah.
It's still not, like, thirsty, you know what I mean? Like,
no pressure to...
Yeah.
Have a... What's it called? Uniform theme?
Yeah, it's more like what's happening to you rather than, like, who you are.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm going to round out the final Facts of the menstrual phase. So for nutrition during the menstrual phase, limit or avoid fatty and salty foods, caffeine, and alcohol to limit inflammation. So, you know, inflammation can cause cramps and make them worse. So these are things that can help with that, which is hard because obviously during this part of the cycle with more cravings, like you're going to crave the fries and the like fried food. And it's just a matter of making that decision, like definitely fulfill your cravings, but also like be aware of the things that could cause worse cramps and, you know, make a call from there. So yeah. And then magnesium and iron rich foods are important during this part of the cycle. So magnesium rich foods are avocado, mango, black beans, cashews. Hell yeah. I love all of those. Iron-rich legumes, lentils, dark leafy greens.
Those are the best foods.
Yeah, that was like a great... Sure, I'll live off that.
Each one that came, I was like, okay. Okay. What else? I was waiting for one I didn't like that much.
Same. The dark leafy greens is really interesting to me because they're so good for you in terms of like the vitamins and magnesium and all those things during this part of the cycle. But I also know that those can be hard to digest. And so I wonder how to balance like eating those with potential like gas that can cause.
Mm.
Like, you know, like Brussels sprouts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I'm still like, obviously this is recommending it, but like I'm still a little confused whenever I read that about how to appropriately consume.
Yeah.
I guess like if you cook them, that probably helps.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Then,
yeah. For seed cycling during the menstrual phase and the luteal phase, so that whole like other half of the cycle, is pumpkin and flax seeds. For exercise, rest is key. So this could be like, don't do anything at all. Take a rest day if you're not feeling it, or do what makes your body feel good. So this could be like a steady or long walk, stretching, or certain types of yoga that help blood flow, because it just will help with kind of all the symptoms. Also, like a long walk or exercising can also release endorphins. So if you're feeling like you can do your normal exercise, you can also do that. Like there's no kind of restrictions, but in terms of like hormones during this part of the phase and like other potential symptoms of this part of the phase, it makes sense to kind of take it easy.
Wow. So basically, just lying Shavasana.
Yeah, 100%. Or meditate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's so cool.
I can totally, like, feel it. Like, you know how in yoga when you do certain poses and you're, like, releasing everything from your hips?
Yeah.
I so, like, feel that, especially during that part of the cycle when there's like cramps and tension and everything. Like I've almost like cried at how much tension is releasing just from like one pose in yoga.
Yeah.
That's like a hip opener.
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing.
They're like, we store so much emotion in our hips and we have like a cycle of women specifically. Like we have a cycle, like there's so much going on there that like
crazy.
They'll always be like, it's okay to cry. Like you might cry.
Yeah. Have you ever?
No, but I will be like more emotionally sensitive.
Yeah.
I think. But like I kind of wish I cried. Then I'd feel like a full release, you know?
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the day.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Even like there's been times I'm crying like the whole yoga class just because like personal things, but I have cried from hip openers and not just, you know, not like sobbing or anything, just like some tears coming out. And, like,
that made me so sad. You said that.
What?
Yeah, I've just cried through a whole yoga class, but it just...
Oh, I have. That's why I was like so sad when Rachel left, because she's the one who got, you know, like she saw me every single week.
Yeah.
She saw me at my highest and she saw me at my like absolute like snot everywhere on my yoga mat lowest.
Yeah.
And still accepted me with grace and loving arms. And I'm like, that is what I want from my yoga teacher. Like, that's just amazing.
I love that.
Yoga is just the best. But for this phase, productivity, last kind of topic here is there's high intuition, typically, in this part of the phase. Rest and reflect. So again, like a winter, you know, resting, reflecting, reviewing work, reviewing schedule, reassessing goals, etc. So kind of like getting ready, looking at kind of the past month and like anything you want to change, and then being ready to kind of like launch into anything new when spring comes around.
That is really cool, because I think if you're like have a heightened sense of intuition, that is a really good time to like reflect on your goals.
Yeah. And the brain thing here, it says why communication between right and left hemisphere is stronger. Wow. How cool is that?
So cool. Yeah, and I was just in my menstrual phase, and I was, like, literally thinking things right before people said them.
Or, really?
Like, yeah, or, like, even today. I mean, I'm still, like, kind of in the phase. I'm, like, teetering out of it, but I don't know. Such a lame example, but, like, someone called in an order to go, and then I was like, okay, and then it took her like 45 minutes to get there, and then I literally had the thought, I was like, I wonder when Denise is coming for her takeout, and then she walked in the door like right then, and that happens sometimes, like literally that second.
That's amazing.
And I'm like, oh my god, that was so intuitive of me, like I literally knew that she probably like had just parked her car.
Yeah,
you know, I like felt, I don't know, it's just
I see cool. That. I see that. You're definitely a very intuitive person.
But I wonder if it's heightened by my... I'm gonna write stuff down now.
100%. Like, that, yes, you should. And I would love to, like, debrief on that. And I'll do it, too. There's, like,
I'm starting a note.
There's a cycle syncing journal, like, PDF for free on the Funkit Wellness, like, site. I can send it to you. Because I like bought their cycle syncing seeds or seed cycling seeds, and it like it recommends just that, basically, like, you know, tracking all those thoughts and then being able to reflect on like how everything's going.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Oh my god, yay, I'm so excited though.
Me too. I'm glad that this is interesting.
It is. It's so fascinating.
I think there's a couple notes, which I don't know if we mentioned, but some other like random related tips for minimizing period troubles. One, minimize food sensitivities. So kind of related to like the bloating and whatnot, like if there are any food sensitivities that might be exacerbating symptoms, like that's a good place to look. Supporting gut health. So like probiotics, lots of fiber, things like that, balancing blood sugar, which we talked about, the seed cycling, which we talked about, magnesium in general is really good to add to your diet, and a lot of people are magnesium deficient. I just bought a magnesium supplement recently that like you're supposed to take before bedtime, so I've been using that, and we'll report back on how that's going. Also, like it says magnesium baths and sprays. So it's both like something you can ingest or something like you can put on your body to help everything relax. And then food temperature, which I still think is so interesting.
Huh.
That like ovulation to period, it says consume warm foods, like less of the cold smoothies and more like turmeric and omega-3, which help fight inflammation. And then the other half of the phase, I think, is the more, like, raw and cold foods, which is so interesting to me. Like, I want to kind of follow up on that, because I don't know if I understand that fully.
Yeah.
But I think it has to do with also, like, your body temperature being raised at certain parts of the cycle and, like, lower at other parts of the cycle.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
But then it's so funny to me the way different, like, diets and stuff will tell you to eat certain things at different times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's some for different health reasons, too. It's just, like, how do you make it the most optimal? And I think that's the hardest part. It's, like, there is no most optimal. It's it's just trying and seeing what works for you specifically. But it's so cool.
I almost feel like I wrote that down wrong, too, because, like, when we scroll up to the notes, it's, like, in the ovulation phase, it's the summer season and, like, a hot phase, so you should eat cooling foods.
Hmm.
And then in the cold phase, menstrual phase, you should eat warm foods. That makes sense to me. But I thought your body temperature increased during your period, so I'm a little confused.
It might not be, like, increased temperature of your body.
Yeah, just, like, what that type of food does for your body at that time.
But maybe if your maybe if your temperature is increased, it wants hot food so it can stay hot.
Yeah, you're right.
Or, like, it's less inflammatory, because if you eat cold foods while you're hot, then maybe it'd be, like, a osmosis thing, and you have to, like, meet that medium temperature.
Yeah, and, like, more digestion resources.
Yeah.
On raw food versus less on warm, like, softer food.
Yeah, I think that's right. Well, okay. I don't know, but that makes sense to me.
That makes sense to me, too. Let's stick with that.
Okay, great.
Cool.
Amazing. Wow, thank you for that. That was so insightful and amazing and wonderful.
Thanks for listening.
Oh, my God, yeah.
This has been a cool topic, and excited to dive into another topic next time, which we have to figure out what that'll be.
DM us at Pass the Compassion on Instagram.
Also, if you stumbled upon us, let us know. We want to know if anyone has stumbled upon and how, or if most of our listeners have been people we've let know about the podcast, because that's really interesting.
Yeah. All right. Well, much love to all. Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, happy Valentine's Day.
Yay.
We love love.
Love, love, love.
We did a Valentine's Day episode last year, so check that out if you want. It's about the sustainability of Valentine's Day.
Yeah, and roses and flowers and chocolate. So I actually want to listen to that so I can tell my boyfriend where to buy me flowers from.
Love that.
So
great episode to refer back to.
Yeah, amazing. Have a beautiful day, afternoon, and night.
Yay. Bye, everybody.